Good morning. Today's daf and kedushin is Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Ishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We find ourselves on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, a continuation of the Gemara's discussion from yesterday. The Gemara quoted we saw the first Mishnah, the Masechta, and the Mishnah tells us that a woman going through Kedushin, the first stage of marriage, so entrance into Kedushin is done in one of three ways. The woman could be Mekadosh herself with either Kesef Shtar or Bia, either by getting money or by a document or through Bia. Those are the three ways in which a woman enters into marriage. And now is Mikudeshes. The Gemara yesterday pointed out that the Mishnah chose the word Gehektesh very specifically, Kedushin, because Kedushin means that she's Muktash, she's dedicated, she's sanctified. Once she goes through Kedushin, she's a Shasish. She's prohibited to every other man. She has relations with another man. She is a... She's Mizana, that's considered adultery. So entering into this first stage of marriage is done in one of three ways. So the Gemara yesterday really nitpicked the Mishnah in terms of the language that was used by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Haisha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim. The Mishnah does not use the word Kedushin like it used in the beginning of the second parak. In the beginning of the second parak, it says, Haish Mekadesh. Over here, it says, Haish Niknes. That was one issue that was brought up yesterday. Another issue that we saw yesterday is that it's coming from the perspective of the woman. It says Haisha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim. And why doesn't the Mishnah say Haish Kona B'Shalosh Drachim? So many very small nuanced points within the Mishnah in which the Gemara picks up on. And then what we discussed yesterday is also the words Drachim. The Mishnah says that a woman can be acquired in one of the three Drachim. Drachim seems to be also a very strange usage of language, and the Gemara wanted to know why the Mishnah chose specifically the word Drachim. And then, if you remember yesterday, towards the end of yesterday's daf, we also had a question of the word Drachim. Is it a male word? Is it a female word? In the Torah itself, there's an ambiguity to that. The Torah sometimes refers to a derech as feminine. Sometimes the Torah refers to it as a positive. B'derech echad yetzu elecha uvishiva derachim yanusu lefanecha. So it sometimes goes feminine, sometimes goes masculine. And the Gemara says that the word derech in of itself does not have a specific gender. Right? Derech in Lashon HaKodesh is gender... I guess you would call it gender neutral, and depending on the context of what you're talking about, so that will determine whether it's a masculine or a feminine. So when we're speaking about the Torah itself is Lashon Nekeva. So when speaking about the Torah, and Derech is used in the context of Torah, like in the Parshas Yitzro, so then it's going to be used Lashon Nekeva. However, when talking about battle and war, like it speaks about in the Tochacha, so there the battle and the war is fought by men, so therefore the Derech over there is used in the masculine. Okay. In the meantime, why use the word derech over there? So the Gemara yesterday, when this is where we ended off, and this is where we're going to pick it up today, the Gemara says, well, derech is generally a trend. And the Mishnah wants to teach us a trend. What's the trend of the Mishnah? So let's pick it up in the Gemara where we left off yesterday with the words Ve'i Ba'Yisema. It's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara's response to the question of why the word Derech. I Ba'Yisema Hamani Rabbi Shimoni. The Mishnah over here subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Mine Ma Amra Torah Ki Kach Ish Isha. Why does the Torah say that a man takes a woman? V'lok Siv Ki Sila Kach Isha Le'ish. And why not say that the woman's going to take for herself a man? Because it is the way of a man to find a woman, and it is not the way of the woman to find a man. Mashallah Adam Shahabdal Aveda. It's very similar to when somebody loses something. So it's the one who lost it is going to be looking for the item which is lost. Rashi over here explains that the mashal of the Gemara is in reference to Adam Arisha. What happened is that a part of him was taken away, a tzela was taken away from him. The Gemara elsewhere has a debate exactly what the tzela is. It's a tail, it's a rib. But there was a piece of him that was taken off. And now Adam Arishon is looking for it again. Now Adam didn't really have to look for it, and he kind of knew where Chava was, but that basically encoded in us this idea that the male is going to be looking after the female. So when our Mishnah uses the words Shlosha Derachim, so the general trend is the Derech, right, Rashi describes it as Derech Eretz. And this is just simply the way things are. The way things are is that the men is going to seek after the woman and not vice versa. The Gemara says, let's see if this is always going to work out. V'hadetnan. So we're now four lines on the bottom on Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara is going to test this theory in terms of whether or not Derech speaks to a general trend. So for example, let's turn our attention to a Mishnah. Hadetnan. B'zayin Derechim Bodkin Es Hazav. So there are seven different ways in which we examine a Zav. We discussed this yesterday already. The Mishnah here in Zavin describes that when a man has a discharge, not a seminal discharge, but a different type of discharge, it's in Halach, in the Torah, it's called a Zav. So it's slightly different than that of Shechvat Zera, both in color and viscosity. The man becomes Tame in having the discharge, but only if the discharge comes out with no external influence. It has to come out on its own. But if it comes out with any external influence, so then it's not going to be Matame the man. And the Mishnah over there details and outlines the seven different things which are going to be considered external forces, and therefore the man's not going to be Tame. Meanwhile, the Mishnah over there uses the word Durachim. B'zayin Durachim Botkin Es Hazav. We examine the Zav in one of seven ways. Lisnei Dvarim. So the Gemara says, what kind of trend are we talking about over there? Shouldn't the mission over there just simply say the word Dvarim? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, no, that mission over there is talking about trends. You overeat, you overdrink, so you're going to have a Ziva emission. It speak to general trends of this world. So the Gemara says so. So that Mishnah actually fits into our thesis that the word Derech speaks to general trends. So the Gemara says V'hadidnan. So the Gemara says, okay, let's do this again. I'll show you a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Esrog Shavali Ilam Begimel Derachim. The Esrog is similar to a tree in one of three ways. Just some basic information so that we can go forward over here. We are discussing the halachas of Chumas and Maisers as it relates to trees versus trees, meaning fruits, versus vegetables. Some very basic differences. When it comes to the first most basic difference is that fruits are chayv and chumas and maestros min haTorah. And according to the Rambam, all fruits are chayv and chumas and maestros min haTorah. But Rashi consistently throughout all of Shas says that no, it's not all fruits. It's only grapes and olives. And of course, the five grains as well. But in terms of fruits, only grapes and olives are chayv and chumas and maestros. All of the fruits are chayv and chumas and maestros mid derabanan. Okay, but in terms and when it comes to vegetables, everybody is in agreement that when it comes to vegetables, they're only chayv and chumas and maestros mid derabanan, not mid deraisa. Okay, so that's the first basic difference between fruits versus vegetables. But the other basic difference in terms of fruits versus vegetables is in terms of what year are they going to be connected to. When it comes to vegetables, vegetables follow the Shas Likita, the time that you pick them out of the ground. Meaning, regardless of at what point in the year they grow on the ground, the most critical point for every vegetable is the time that you actually pluck them out of the ground. Shas Likita. That will determine what year it's connected to. When it comes to the fruit, that's not true. By fruit, the year that it follows is Shas Chanata, the time that it starts blossoming on the tree. That's the time that the fruit is going to be connected with the year. What is it so important to know what year is it connected to? So Rashi over here points out on Beis Amud Beis, it's the last Rashi on the Amud. So Rashi says, because we know that if you're living in Eretz Yisrael and you're following the basic agricultural halachas of Eretz Yisrael, so you know that the year is going to determine who's going to be the recipient of the Trumas HaMaisos. There's not much fluctuation, but there's a little bit. Your first 2% goes to the Kohen, that's Truma Gedola. That's a constant. Your next 10% go to the Levi, that's called Maaser Rishon. That's also a constant, and that'll apply from years 1 through 6 every year. Obviously, by the way, the 7th year, there is no Trumas HaMaisos, because nobody owns the land. Okay, so we're just discussing years 1 through 6. And then, after that, then it fluctuates. So, again, Truma Gedola, the first 2% goes to the Kohen. The next 10% goes to the Levi, that's Maaser Rishon. Then, after that, it fluctuates. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so the next 10% is Trumas Maaser, is Sorry, Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni does not go to a Kohen, does not go to the Levi. Meiser Sheni, you get to keep. With one simple restriction. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. It's not so simple. But you have to eat in Yerushalayim. So the best thing to do, and the Torah advances the suggestion, which is to take the Meiser Sheni and to convert it into money, bring the money to Yerushalayim whenever you're going to Yerushalayim, and then spend the money there on food. Okay, that's the that is in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. In years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, so that second Meiser, that second 10% after Meiser Rishon, is Meiser Ani. It's given to the poor, that second 10%. So, that second 10% that you're giving annually in years 1 through 6 are going to fluctuate from years 1, 2 to year 3. From years 4, 5 to year 6. So now, what year is it going to be connected to? So once again, a basic difference between fruits and vegetables. Fruits, the connection of that fruit to the year is going to be based on chanata, based on when it starts blossoming, even though it's still on the tree. When it comes to vegetables, likita, the time they pluck it out of the ground. Okay, that's the ABCs. That's basics in terms of a differentiation between fruits versus vegetables. Now that we know the basic differences, so now where does the etrog stand? So an etrog, even though it clearly grows on a tree, you have etrog trees right here in our very own community. So the your son has an etrog tree. Okay, so so when it comes to the etrog tree, so the Gemara says that it's a little bit fuzzy in halacha, whether halacha is going to view it like a fruit or whether it's going to view it like a vegetable. In fact, that's exactly what the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is telling us. Now let's take a look. Let's go back to the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. V'hadinan. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. Esrog shavu le'ilam b'gimel drachim. So an esrog is similar to a tree in one of three ways. So lisnei dvarim. So the Gemara says, once again, the language that's used over there of derech. Now again, we're right now in the middle of a thesis, and our thesis is that the word derech is used to show a particular trend. The trend is that men go after women. The trend is that if you overeat and if you overdrink, you're going to become a zav. So what's the trend over here as the Mishnah is describing the esrog tree? Mishnah doesn't seem to be discussing a trend. So the Gemara says, Mishim to be in a misnei sefer uliyarek b'derech echad. The Gemara says, well, we'll excuse that Mishnah. Let's leave that Mishnah really out of the discussion, because the Mishnah over there wanted to have a contrasting statement, and the contrasting statement is, and it's like a vegetable in one way. So since the contrasting statement of the Mishnah over there is b'derech echad, so therefore the first half of the Mishnah is going to say gimel derachim, even though there really is no trend over there. The Gemara says that's not such a good argument. So Uli Yerik Bederach, I'm sorry, Derachim Lisnei Dvar Mishum Debina Mitzday Sefer Yerik Bederach Echad. Sorry, I read that. Sefer Nami. The Gemara says it's not such a great argument. Sefer Nami Lisnei Dvar. Gemara says the Mishnah really could have avoided the word Derach altogether. It could have said Gimel Dvarim, and the contrasting statement is Davar Echad. So once again, why did the Mishnah over there feel so compelled to use the word derech based on our thesis? We're now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it's coming to teach us. So the Gemara says that maybe the Mishnah there is trying to teach us that the esrog tree is like a vegetable in the following sense. My yerek dark oligadol kol mayim, uvishas lekitaso, isuro, af esrog dark oligadol kol mayim, uvishas lekitaso, isuro. So the Gemara says that maybe the point is the following, that when it comes to the esrog, so just like a vegetable grows on what the Gemara here describes as kol mayim. Kol mayim means aside from rainwater. Rainwater, and even if you manufacture water, I don't mean manufacture, but in other words, you provide the water. So vegetables can grow basically on anything. Either it's seasonally based, meaning on the rain season, or if you provide the water yourself, the vegetables are going to grow on any type of water. The Gemara says, in that regard, the esrog tree is very similar to a vegetable. The esrog tree is not tied to the season. It's not tied to the rainwater. Yes, it can grow on rainwater, but can also grow on water that you provide itself. The Gemara says, unlike trees, where trees are connected to the rain season, to the rainwater, and so the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. That the reason why the esrog is compared to a vegetable, and just like by vegetable, it is attached to the year based on lakita, based on the time that you pluck it out of the ground, same thing is true regarding an esrog. The esrog will be connected to the year based on lakita, on the time that you pluck it out of the ground, based on the fact that it can grow on kol mayim. So that would, we'd still be able to keep our thesis that the word derech is talking about a trend, and that's the trend as it relates to the esrog tree. The Gemara says, once again, Gemara is going to beat us down on this point, and the Gemara says, I don't really think that this derech is necessarily speaking to trends. The Gemara says, v'hadanan. Let's learn together another Mishnah. The Mishnah over here describes an animal that is somewhere between a behemah and a chaya. In terms of how the Torah compartmentalizes and organizes animal, the Torah basically has two categories of animals. One is behemah, the other is chaya. We would describe behemah as, or I would describe it as, like more like a domesticated animal. Like the sheep, like the goat, like a cow. An animal that kind of grazes, that's just kind of, that you can pen up very easily. Right? We call domesticated animals. The chaya are the wilder animals. Animals that, generally speaking, live in the wild. They are kosher animals of both behemah and chaya. Torah enumerates by behemah, I think, all behemahs are kosher. Right, I cannot think of a pig falls under the category of behemoth. Yeah, it's okay. All right, let me retract from that statement. Okay, so by behemoth, most of them are kosher. Okay, maybe that's right. Anyway, by behemoth, some of them are kosher, and by chaya, same thing. Some of them kosher, some of them are not kosher. Torah goes through a number of examples of chaya that are kosher. Anyway, the basic halachic differences between a behemoth and a chaya are the following. They're very simple. Number one, when it comes to behemah, you cannot eat the chalav of the behemah. The hard fats that are found around the organs of the animal, the Gemara in Chulin gives more detail in terms of which fats they are exactly, but we're not talking about the fats within the muscle. We're talking about the hard fats that are around the... Omentum. Back in Chulam, that was easily on my lips. But anyway, so those hard fats are also when it comes to behema. Meanwhile, by achaya, they're mutter, totally permissible. That's one basic difference. Another basic difference is the mitzvah of kisui adam. When you shecht a behema, so there is no mitzvah of kisui adam. When you shecht a chaya, and for that matter also oaf as well, so there's a mitzvah of kisui adam. So there are very simple basic differences between a chaya and a behema. The Gemara says there's a species of animal. The Gemara keeps referring to it as a koi. Actually, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a buffalo. Now, I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch lived in Israel, 15th century. I don't know what he was describing. But anyway, it's important, but there's an animal that's straddling somewhere on the border of either being a chaya or being a behema. How do we treat it? That's what the Mishnah here is describing. So, hadanan koy yesh bo derachim shavel achay v'yesh bo derachim shavel abehema. And in certain ways, it is similar to a chay. In certain ways, it is similar to a behema. And once again, you'll notice, and the reason why we're learning this Mishnah together is because of the word derech. V'yesh bo derachim shavel achay l'behema. In certain regards, it's similar to both a chay and a behema. V'yesh bo derachim sheino shavel olachay v'olabehema. And there are certain ways where it's not similar to neither a chay or a behema. So, first of all, what's going on here in this Mishnah? If you take a look at Rashi writes, Yesh bo derachim, dekeim de mesafka laneza by lechumra. Meaning, we don't know what the koi is. Is it a behema? Is it a chaya? So therefore, in certain regards, they're going to be the same. Shav lechaya v'tan kisi adam. You're going to have to cover the blood. Meaning, you shech the animal, the first blood goes on the floor, you're going to have to cover it. Why? because we don't know. We don't know if it's a chayav. We don't know if it's a behema. So we're going to be machmir. We're going to cover the blood. And lebehema chabo aser. We're not going to eat the chaylev because we don't know. It could be a chayav. Could be a behema. If it's a chayav, the chaylev is mutter. If it's a behema, the chaylev is aser. We don't know. So therefore, we're going to be machmir. And in certain regards, they're going to be the same. Shav lebehema v'chayav tun shchita. Chayav and behema both require shchita. Our koi, regardless of what it is, it's going to require shchita. And in what regard is it going to be not like a chaya, not like a behema? Asar hava in behema v'chaya. I can't cross it with either a behema or a chaya because I don't know what it is. So therefore, since I don't know what it is, if I cross it with a behema, it may be a chaya, and I'm violating the asar of crossbreeding. And vice versa. So in many regards they're the same. In many regards we're going to be machmer because we don't know, and I don't mean many, and in some regards they're just simply not, we're not going to treat like either one of them. Meantime, a sheep and a goat, I don't think so. Right, in other words, where are you going to take this coin and cross it with what? Right, that's your question essentially. Right. I know the Gemara in Chulin. I have a vague memory. But I know the Gemara in Chulin has a discussion of crossing the koi with various animals. That I remember clearly. In terms of what specifically we're going to do it with, I don't know. Point over here in terms of why we brought this discussion here is because, once again, this Mishnah is employing the word derachim. And again, we have a thesis. And our thesis is that when you see the word derach, it's speaking to general trends. Men are looking after women for their to become their spouse. Overeating and overdrinking leads to a man having a zav discharge. A esrog, it trends to grow on any type of water, and therefore we follow shas lakita, the time that you pluck it off the ground. What are you going to do with this Mishnah? This Mishnah over here, what kind of trend are we talking about as it relates to the koi? The Gemara says that's difficult. It's really difficult. So nisnei devarim. So the Gemara says, really, what the Mishnah should be learning over there is not the word derech, but rather the word devarim. Vesuha denan. The Gemara says, and we learned another Mishnah. Zuachas mina derechim sheshava gita nashlam shechura avadim. So one of the ways in which the get of a woman is similar to that of a letter of emancipation as it relates to an eved kenani. You remember this? Not that long ago, we were back in Gittin. 2 days ago, actually. And you remember back in the earlier prakim, we talked about b'fanei nechtam, that when you deliver a get from outside Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so you say, you formulate b'fanei nechtam. So there are, this is one of the ways in which they're equated. Now, once again, this is one of the ways. What trend are we talking about over here as we're describing the get being delivered from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael? What trend are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Nisnei Devarim. Once again, what the Mishnah should be using over there, the word should be Davar, not Derech, if you're right that the word Derech is speaking to general trends. Ella. So the Gemara comes up now to the magical word of Ella. Ella says, we had such a nice thesis. It was a beautiful theory. The Gemara says, what we're going to do now is we're going to scrap it. And we're going to come up with another proposal in terms of when the Mishnah uses Derech. And yes, we spent now, I'm looking at the clock, we spent now over 20 minutes trying to support a theory. And that's basically the way the Gemara goes. If I may use a pun over here, that's the Derech HaGemara. It's a trend that the Gemara sometimes makes an effort, really endeavors to come up with a theory, a thesis in terms of why something is. And the Gemara realizes after exhausting all possibilities that it's just simply not going to work. And the Gemara moves on. It's a trial and error of the Gemara. And it's all part of being osik b'Torah. So the Gemara says, "Ela kol hecha de ika plukta tani derachim v'kol hecha de leka plukta tani devarim." So the Gemara says, "Here it is, and this is it, and it's going to be nice and simple." And in fact, the Gemara is going to take one more line to prove that this is in fact correct, and that is the following: when there are points of differentiation, so there the Mishnah is going to employ the word derech. which actually makes a lot of sense. Meaning, right, you ever see a road? So a road forks off to the left, a road forks off to the right. Sometimes there's a fork in the road where you can go to the right and to the left. So whenever you have a differentiation in halacha, so the word derech is going to be used. However, if there is no point of differentiation, if they are the same, so then the word davar is going to be used. The Gemara says, and that's going to be the big difference between the word derech versus the word davar. And the Gemara says, before we go on in the Gemara, and let's take a look at Rashi, because now you got to go back over all those Mishnayos, and you got to see that in the Mishnayos. The Gemara doesn't bother doing that, Rashi does. Rashi writes, the Kaplukta, Chiluk B'derechav, B'derech Zu, Hu Dama Lakan, V'derech Zu, Ein Adama. So Rashi explains the analogy. When we're describing differentiation, so therefore we're going to use derech. In certain ways it's like this, certain ways it's not like this. Kagon, Masnitsin. So the first example, says Rashi, that we're going to look at is our very own Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Bigamal Drachim Lamute Chupo, Delo Kaya. We are going to learn in just a moment that our Mishnah says three ways a man can be Mekadosh a woman. Now, when the Mishnah says there are three ways a man can be Mekadosh a woman, that means that there are ways a man cannot be Mekadosh a woman. So, for example, Rashi says, we didn't see this yet in the Gemara, Chupo. Chuppah is a way that you enter into the second stage of marriage. Okay, what exactly chuppah is? Like I've said many times before, the Gemara never explicitly says what chuppah is. And for our purposes right now, we don't even need to know. We just need to note that there's a process called chuppah that gets you from step one of marriage into step two of marriage. What we're learning right now is that chuppah doesn't work to get you into step one. Chuppah only works to get you into step two. So the Gemara says, that's what our Mishnah is telling us. Our Mishnah is telling us certain ways that you can get into the first stage of marriage. Keser Shtar Biyah. And there are certain ways you cannot get in. Chuppah. That's why the Mishnah uses the word derech. And Rashi says, Udazav. Hachudavi Ones Laziva Vala Ones Achir. In the case of what is considered a discharge by a man that will render him Tameh. Seven different ways in which, if the man has a discharge as a result of those seven external factors, he's not going to become Tameh. If it's anything other than those seven, he will become Tameh. So once again, a point of differentiation. Next, Rashi says the case of Get. Udigin be'elu shava v'lo be'omer tenu get zeh le'ishti u'shtar shichur zeh le'avdi dechozer be'get ve'eno chozer be'shichur dezachan lala adam shlo b'fanav. In terms of a get isha versus a shichur eved, there's again a point in which they're similar, and there's a point where they're different. They're similar in the idea of b'fanenechtam. They're different in that when it comes to the delivery of a get, so you cannot say. When it comes to a get, you cannot make the shliach a shliach lekabbalah. A woman can, but the husband cannot make a shlech l'shlech l'kabbalah. Why? Because it's a chov. And zach l'adam shlo b'fanav, but in chav l'adam shlo b'fanav. When it comes to a get shichur, freeing the slave, that's only good. And therefore, you can be zochah the get shichur to the eved kenani. Zach l'adam shlo b'fanav. So a basic difference that exists between a get isha versus a shichur eved. So the Gemara says, and that's it. That's the entire difference between using the word derech versus using the word davar. Now we go back to our Gemara, Dekanami Dektani Seifa. Rabbi Lazar Omer Esok Shevel Ilan Lechol Davar. And the Gemara gives one piece of evidence which really shows that this is in fact true. Because we're going to go now back to that Mishnah regarding the Esrog. If you look back at that Mishnah regarding Esrog, so you saw that if you go back to the bottom of the previous Amud, it says, this is the opinion of the Tanakhama, an Esrog is similar to a tree in one of three Derachim, and it's similar to a vegetable in one derech. So that's very good. Because again, our new thesis is that the word derech is speaking to differentiation, to the idea that in certain ways it's similar, in certain ways it's not similar. And then if you were to read on the Mishnah, the Gemara just did that, Rebbe Lazar says, it's like a tree in every respect. So according to Rebbe Lazar, there's no differentiation. Look at the word that Rebbe Lazar uses when he says there's no differentiation. What word does he use? Davar. Oh, right. Because once there's no differentiation, so you shift now from the word derech to the word davar. Shema Mina, the Gemara says, great. We now have supported our new thesis, our new theory. And the Gemara says that the word derech speaks to differentiation, and davar speaks to when there's no differentiation. Okay. We are now in the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph. We are continuing in the Gemara's discussion. Minyana Deresh Lamute Mai, Minyana Desefer Lamute Mai. You look at the Mishnah, and this is textbook Mishnah. When the Mishnah gives a number, Ha'isha Niknates B'Shalosh Derachim. So three. So three means three and only three. You might have thought that there should be something else that could create a Kedushin between a man and a woman. So the Mishnah is there to tell you, no. It's three and it's only three. And in fact, the Mishnah, just to make sure that we know it's three and only three, it says it twice. So the Mishnah says, Eishan Niknas B'Shal Shirachim, a man is Kona in one of three ways. Okay, sorry. And I'm sorry. And when talking about the way she's Kona herself, the Mishnah also articulates that she owes Kona herself in one of two ways. And then the Mishnah reports death and divorce. So once again, what is the Mishnah telling us three when we can count? Why is the Mishnah telling us two when we know how to count? Okay, so this is the Gemara's question. So, Minyana Deresh Lamutimai, Minyana Desefer Lamutimai, Minyana Deresh Lamutei Chuppa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's start off with Kiddushin. What doesn't work in the Mishnah? What is the Mishnah clearly leaving out by saying the number three? Three and only three. So the Gemara says Chuppa, like we just got done saying, we saw it together in Rashi, Chuppa doesn't work in terms of getting you into Kiddushin. Once you're Mekudeshes, so to go into second stage of marriage, so that you have Chuppa. But prior to that, Chuppa in of itself does not work. So the Gemara says, Ula Rav Huna da Amar, so the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, you don't know this yet, but we're going to see in Daf Hey, a couple days from now, that according to Rav Huna, Rav Huna is of the opinion that Chuppah will get you into Kiddushin. And Rav Huna makes a logical argument, and in a couple days from now, we're going to learn the opinion of Rav Huna, and we're going to learn the argument of Rav Huna. But in the meantime, according to Rav Huna, Chuppah is a valid way to get you into marriage. So, if you do subscribe to Rav Huna's viewpoint, so then, our Mishnah says three and only three, what is it coming to exclude? And now, of course, it's difficult, by the way, according to Rav Huna, why would the Mishnah not include Chuppah in the Mishnah? Okay, but again, we're gonna come back to that point in a couple days from now. In the meantime, however, if you do subscribe to Rav Huna, what is our Mishnah looking to exclude? Lema'ute Chalipin. So the Gemara says it's coming to exclude Chalipin. Sakadat Chamina, I might have thought, hold the Gemara Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephra. Because, look, how do I know that a man can be Mekadosh a woman with money? Like we said already yesterday, like we're saying again right now, there's nowhere in the Torah that gives an indication, nowhere clearly in the Torah that gives an indication that a man can be Mekadosh a woman with money. And how do we know that? We learned it through Gzeira Sheva from Stei Ephron. Masada Mekanya Bechalipin? Sorry. Before I read on, just like a man acquires the land through money, so too, when a man enters marriage, he's Kona the woman with money. So the Gemara says, now that we know that that's true, so here's what I might have thought. It's a very strong Hava Amina. Ma sada mekanya bechalipin, af isha nami mekanya bechalipin. Now, a man could also buy a property using the method of chalipin. And in fact, Rashi over here points out, that's a pasuk in Tanakh. That's by Rus, in the fourth final parak of Rus. So we know that there was a negotiation over the purchase of, I don't mean purchase in terms of objectifying. I mean the marriage of Rus, and also the purchase of a property as well. Right? The Rus's previous husband, Machlon, was a relative to either Poloni Amoni, or to Ploni Amon and to Boaz, and then it was just a question of who was going to do not the formal mitzvah of Yibum. It's not exactly that, but the Ramban and Chumash says Geula, right? A very close relative to the mitzvah of Yibum. I actually meant the pun. So who is going to buy the property? And the psukim over there in Rus say that the method of acquisition used in order to buy the property is chalipin, where basically it's a barter. And it's not even, when I say barter over here, chalipin is more of like a symbolic barter, right? You give me that pen, and in exchange for the pen, I'll give you the property. we're not really exchanging pen for property. We're just simply saying that just like you're going to be watching the pen being transferred from one to another, the property is also going to be transferred from one to another. Obviously, but sometimes you just got to state the obvious, obviously you have to pay for the property. You owe money for the property, but in terms of acquisition, the acquisition is done, the kinyan is done through chalipin. So property can be acquired through chalipin. So now the Gemara says, I might have thought, since we have a Zereshava that teaches us that the kinyan isha is equatable to kinyan karka, and just like karka could be acquired through kesef, so too a woman can be nikna through kesef, I might have thought, it's fantastic havamina, that chalipin works as well. I know chalipin works by property, so why shouldn't chalipin work by isha? That's what I might have thought. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to preclude. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, that's the point of the Mishnah. Chalipin does not work as a vehicle in which a man can be kona a woman. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, first of all, that was a great Havamina. The Gemara says, Ve'ima Hachinami. The Gemara says, I like that Havamina. What was wrong with that Havamina? So Chalipin is new, Bepachos Mishav Pruta, Visha Bepachos Mishav Pruta, Lo Mekanya Nafshe. So the Gemara gives the following answer. Well, says the Gemara, you know that for Chalipin, the item that's used as the symbolic exchange doesn't have to be Shav Pruta. Right? I pointed to the pen. The pen could or could not be worth a Shav Pruta. If it is, fine. But even if the pen is not worth a shavapruta, chalipin works for any item. It could be a handkerchief. It could be a tissue. Any item that is quote-unquote exchanged for the land affects the kinyan for the land. So the Gemara says that since in the world of chalipin, you can have the kinyan being done, even using an item that's less than a shavapruta, that's why it doesn't translate over to kiddushin by a woman. Because a woman will not allow herself to be acquired with anything less than a Shava Pruta. Now again, it gets to really a core issue over here. We're talking about the Kedushin of a woman. We're talking about the Kinyan of a woman. You're not buying the woman. Right? We said this yesterday, say it again today, say it as many times as you want. The acquisition of a woman, she's not property, you're not buying her. So the truth of the matter is that we're not really looking at a minimum amount as, well, you know, a woman won't sell herself for that much. When we say kinyan, we mean basically changing her status from a non-married woman to a married woman. That's what kinyan means in the context of kiddushin. But still, if we're changing her status from being a non-married woman to a married woman, she is going to be insistent that there's got to be some base amount of money. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here, and let's read the Rashi inside, and it's the top Rashi on Gimel Amud Beis, Rashi says that, look, since chalipin can be done with something that's less than a shavapruta, it is just simply degrading to a woman that she's going to be allowing herself to enter into a new status, into a married status, with a method of acquisition that can be done for less than a shavapruta. Rashi writes that on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. I read the Rashi inside. Lamekanya nafsha, Rashi writes, Diginai hula. It's embarrassing. It's degrading for a woman. She's not going to allow herself to be married with that little amount. Hilkach batel el toras chalipin bekedushin. Ve'afilu beklish yesh bo shava pruta. Iyayv la b'lashan chalipin. Ad yayv la b'toras lashan kinyan okicho kedushin. And Rashi says, and don't think that, well, let's avoid the, let's still use chalipin, just use an item that's more than a shava pruta. So you go over to the woman and you say, here, look, here's a mug. And not just any mug, right? Home team, right? Here's a mug, and I'll give this to you. And I use the language of chalipin. Rashi says it's still not going to work because since chalipin is such a, I'm going to use this in the context of this discussion. Since chalipin is such a trivial way of creating an acquisition, and I say trivial because it could be done with something less than a shava pruta. So the woman just basically says we're taking it off the table. I'm not giving myself to you through chalipin. It's got to be money, right? In other words, as long as we're talking about that method of acquisition. That is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. Okay. what I encourage you to do, I'm only gonna point you in the right direction, but we're not gonna go through it right now. I encourage you to do is take a look at the bottom Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosfos over here quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam does not like the way Rashi learned the Gemara. One of the critical points of Rabbeinu Tam is that the word Nafsha is taken out of the Gemara. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam says that the chalipin just simply does not work, period, having nothing to do with the woman's like or dislike of this method of kinyan. See Rabbeinu Tam for a discussion of how he understands the Gemara. But the way I present to the Gemara is kipshuto kirashi, like Rashi presents it, and it fits in well with the text that we have in our Gemara. It's just simply degrading for a woman to accept kedushin with chalipin, and that's why our Mishnah leaves it out.
Well, then, there are many times in the Gemara they talk about how eager women are to get married, and talk about type of guy.
Correct.
To settle with and.
Correct. Tavla meitav tandu la meitav armalu. You're right. The Gemara does speak about the woman's willingness to get married. And
eagerness. I mean, like, very eager.
No.
Just anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, totally understood. At the same time, when push comes to shove, they also want something, you know, they want something real. And chalipin is just simply not real enough. Right. Right. Why the Mishnah uses the word gimel. Yeah. Okay. Well, so hopefully the Gemara raises this question. The Gemara right now isn't really even dealing with Rav Huna. The Gemara is just simply acknowledging, I know Rav Huna's opinion. I'm aware of that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work in our discussion. The Gemara says basically, let's have a discussion that works for everybody. And so chalipin would work for everyone. So hopefully the Gemara in Daf Hey, I don't remember the Shakla Vitarya well, but hopefully the Gemara in Daf Hey will address your question. Right. But it's the right question to ask. Okay, and now minyana de sefer. We're now on the top of Gemara Beis. Minyana de sefer lamute chalitza. The Mishnah says that there are two ways in which a woman exits marriage: death, divorce. And what else would there be? And the Mishnah says in only two ways. And again, what does the only two mean in the context of the Mishnah? So we're now in the Gemara Midveis. The Gemara says Lamute Chalitza. So the Gemara says it's coming to preclude Chalitza. Sakadat Chamina Tesei Bekava Chomer Miyavama. I might have thought that we're going to learn it out through a logical argument from Yibum. My Yavama Sheina Yotze Beget Yotze Bechalitza. You know, Yavama, she can't leave with a get, meaning a get is not going to work for Yavama. And meanwhile, she can leave using the method of Chalitza. Zush Yotze Beget and Odish Yotze Bechalitza. So when it comes to a quote unquote regular married woman who is able to leave the marriage through get, so if she could for sure leave through chalitza, that's the kavachama, that's the logical argument, kamash malan. So that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that chalitza simply does not work for a regular wife where she cannot extricate herself from the marriage using the method of chalitza. And again, the Gemara says, you just provide a logical argument and it seems to be pretty good. So, let's say that that's in fact correct. Amakra, sefer krisa, sefer korsa, vein dever acher korsa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Drasha tells us otherwise. The Drasha tells us that the only thing that severs ties between a husband and a wife is only sefer krisos, is only a written letter, what we would call a get. That and only that is going to create a separation between the husband and wife. Now again, death also creates separation, but that's easy though, because then there's no husband. So then you don't need anything else to separate them. But once the husband and woman and the wife are still in this world, the only thing that separates them is going to be sefer krisos. So the kal vachomer is great, but the pasuk is going to trump the kal vachomer. Okay. Bakesef. We go back to our Mishnah, and now after having a discussion of the language employed in the Mishnah, Aisha nikneis b'shalosh derachim, v'konetz asma b'shei derachim, and we spent now all of yesterday's daf and most of today's daf discussing and really detailing the language that's used in the Mishnah. Now we're going to start with the basic discussion in the Gemara regarding the method of kiddushin. The first method of kiddushin that's used in the Mishnah is kesef. Kesef is first of three means in which a man enters into marriage. Minalei. So the Gemara's question, the first question is, and how do I know this? Where does this come from that a man can enter into marriage through kesef. So now it's true, says Rashi. The Gemara answered that in yesterday's daf, but Rashi points out, and Rashi also said this in yesterday's daf as well, and that is that the Gemara gave away the answer yesterday, but only agav orche. Meaning it wasn't the main point the Gemara was addressing. The Gemara was just addressing the linguistics of the Mishnah. And in doing so, it gave away the answer. But not because it was addressing the question directly. Now we're addressing the question directly. How do we know that money works as a means of Kiddushin? That's the direct question. Vistu, and furthermore, says the Gemara, before answering the question directly, a father has the right to marry off his daughter through using the method of Kiddushin. I'm sorry, to be Mekadosh his daughter using the means of Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So, min nalan de mikne bekesef. How do I know that the father has a right to be Mekadosh's daughter using the method of Kesef? And furthermore, the Kesef da'avuahu. And again, while we're on the subject, let's also answer another question. When the father marries off his daughter, and the Kesef is the means in which you're going to enter into Kedushin, how do I know that the money is going to go to the father? Okay, so these are the questions that we're asking right now. Very simple, basic questions regarding how to affect Kedushin. Question number one, what's the source? How do I know that Kesef is the means in which a man can be Mekadosh a woman? Question two, or 1B if you will, how do I know that the father, when he's Mekadosh his minor daughter, can be Mekadosh money, and money as one of the means? And I guess 1C if you will, and how do I know that the money goes to the father and the money doesn't go to the daughter? Okay, all these are basic questions regarding how Kesef works. So the Gemara starts answering this question. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Damakra, V'yatzachinam Ein Kesef. Okay, a short 5 weeks ago in Shul, so about approximately. So we broke a Vayakal Pekudei. So it's more than 5 weeks now. So 6 weeks ago in Shul, so we read from Parshas Mishpatim, beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. So we talked about the Amar Ivriya, right? The woman who was sold into slavery by the father. Now, again, this is something that does not speak to us in terms of our, quote-unquote, our modern thinking, but the Torah gives away, employs a way for a father to, quote-unquote, take care of his daughter. That could really be understood with a double entendre. But the father could take care of the daughter. But I mean it in the most simplistic and innocent way, in which the father is going to make sure that the daughter is going to be cared for. And on top of that, the father also is going to have a financial gain. A father will sell off the daughter to another family. Now, the purpose of that sale, the immediate purpose of that sale, is that the daughter is going to go and now be employed. That's a nice way to say it. And now be employed by another family. But the eventuality, however, over there is that daughter is going to be married to either the father or the son. In other words, the daughter is going to—it's a way of marrying her off. Now, it can be that the family that purchased the daughter is not going to end up marrying that daughter, and they're going to have to release her. And the Torah is very clear that when the family releases her, so ain kasef, they can release her, but with no financial gain. They'll have to pay for the daughter when they buy her, but when they release her, that family can get no financial gain. So the Gemara says, okay, and from there we're going to learn out that that when a father sells a daughter, I'm sorry, when the father's mekadesh the daughter, so under those circumstances there would be a financial gain. And the Gemara says, "Ein kesef la'adon zeh, aval yesh kesef la'adon acher." There's no kesef for this adon, but there will be kesef for another adon. Umanenu, and who is the other adon that we're speaking about? Av. So the Gemara says we're talking about the father. So in this circumstance, the father will be able to send the daughter away, and in doing so, not only send the daughter away, but also receive monetary compensation when sending the daughter away. Meaning, the father will get the money when he's Mekadosh's daughter. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider that maybe, yes, there is monetary compensation, but maybe the recipient of that monetary compensation is going to be the daughter herself. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, the Gemara says, no. Aviyah Makaba Kedusha, Dechsiv, Esbitina, Satilisha Zeh. So the Gemara says, well, it's very hard to imagine, because the father has the right to be Mekadosh's daughter. So in other words, it's the father's decision slash determination that his daughter is going to get married. V'ihi shakla kaspa? So the Gemara says, it's really hard to imagine that the father is the executor of deciding who his daughter is going to marry. And you're going to now tell me that the daughter is the one who's going to get the money? That's, generally speaking, that's not how commerce works. The way it works is that the one who is able to make the decision is the one who's going to be receiving the money. So the Gemara says, well, okay, I can understand your argument and I can hear your argument as it relates to a ketana. A ketana does not have a yad. She doesn't have a hand, a legal hand. So I can understand how the father's going to marry off his daughter while she's a ketana. And I can also hear the argument that the father is the one who's going to be receiving the money, because anyway, she herself cannot receive the kedushin. However, let's move on to the next stage of the development when it comes to a woman. A woman now, after becoming ketana, she becomes a nara. That nara stage is an in-between, where, on one hand, she's an adult, she's over 12 years of age. On the other hand, she's still under the jurisdiction of her father. Now, she has a hand, and the father still has jurisdiction over her. Maybe what the Gemara now is suggesting is that if she or the father were to accept Kiddushin on her behalf, so maybe the father still has the right to be Mekadosher, but she should get the money. The Gemara says that's right now the proposal. V'tishko kasba amakra binureha beisavia koshvach neurim laavia. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to suggest that, because we have a pasuk in Parshas Matos, and the Torah over there describes where a woman, even while being a nara in the house of her father, the father still has jurisdiction over her, and that if she makes a neder, the father can be made for the neder. So you see that the father has rights over her. So the Gemara is now going to suggest that, since you see that in the world of nedarim, so therefore it's going to translate into the world of money as well. So the Gemara says, "Vela hadam rav huna rav minan shemasa abas av shenem revichim kor ishes bito la'ama ma'ama masi adela rabaf bas nami masi adela avia." So the Gemara says, are you really right that the pasuk regarding Hafaras Nedarim is going to teach us that the Kesef Kedushin is going to go to the father? Gemara says, let's consider the following. Maisa Habas. Let's say the daughter does any work. Who's going to be the beneficiary, the recipient of that money, of the earnings? It's going to be the father. How do I know that? Because the father sells her off as an ama. Once again, we go back to Parshas Mishpatim. And ma ama masi adela rabba, just like when you have an ama, all of her earnings, all of her work goes to the owner. So, af bat nami, masi adela avia. So, it's the same thing is true regarding a daughter. A daughter, when she earns, those earnings are going to go to the father. Meaning, if the father has the ability to sell that earning potential, obviously the father owned that earning potential. So, the Gemara says, now, if we had the pasuk in Parshas Matos, shouldn't that be enough? So the Gemara says, Ela b'afars nedarim u'dichsiv. Hachanami b'afars nedarim u'dichsiv. So the Gemara says, you know why we didn't quote the pasuk of Nura Beis Avia? Because that has nothing to do with money. That has to do with hafars nedarim, the father's ability to annul his daughter's vows. So, and that's it. So the Gemara says, that's all we have from that pasuk. We cannot learn out anything regarding monetary compensation. We're not going to learn out that the earnings of the daughter go to the father from that pasuk. And we're not going to learn out that the kesef kiddushin of the daughter go to the father. V'chitem enelef minei. And the Gemara says, and okay, you're right. The pasuk has contextually has nothing to do with money. And it has to do with hafars nedarim. But can't we learn from it? Meaning, if the father has the right and the daughter is under the jurisdiction of the father while she's a nara, where the father can annul her vows, so can't we then make the leap and say that the father also gains monetary compensation? So the Gemara says, no, you can't. Mamonami zor lo yafinan. The Gemara says, we do not learn out money from Isser, meaning the hafaras nedarim, that falls under the category of Isurim. What we're discussing over here is monetary compensation. You can't learn one from the other. So we are right now in the middle of the question. We're going to pause. We're going to stay in the middle of the question. Question is, how do I know that that the father has the ability to marry off his daughter and the proceeds of that marriage are going to go to the father while she's a ketana and even while she's a nara? So stay tuned. We're in the middle of answering that question. And tomorrow we're going to conclude answering the question. Okay, let's wrap up. Let's just quickly summarize. We were left off from yesterday's daf in terms of why the Mishnah chose the language of derachim, begimel derachim. Ha'ishi nikneis b'shalosh derachim. Why the word derach? So we, the Gemara, for a good part of today, try to work with yesterday's thesis that when the Mishnah uses the word derech, it speaks to general trends. The trend is that the man is hunting down the woman and looking for the woman as a wife, and not vice versa. But the Gemara says, after going through many Mishnayos, you could see that it is not a theory that explains every single time the Mishnah uses the word derech. So finally the Gemara concedes, and the Gemara says that the derech is used when there's differentiation. When there are differences in halacha between this and that, so then we use derech. Much like a road has different forks and goes off in different ways. However, if it is a uniformity in halacha, so then the word that's employed is davar, dvarim, and not derech. And the Gemara quoted the Mishnah regarding Esrog, and it was very clear from that Mishnah that that's an absolutely perfect theory in terms of explaining it. I guess it's no longer a theory. Okay, why did the Mishnah use the number 3? 3 is an exclusionary term. What cannot be used as Kiddushin? So the Gemara says either Chuppah, but that's not consensus, or Chalipin. The Chalipin cannot be a method in which a man can be Mekadosh a woman through Chalipin. Why not? So again, the only thing I really presented this morning was Rashi, where Rashi says because it's beneath her. In other words, chalipin can be done with an object that's less than a shavapruta. It is a ceremonial barter between two parties in order to acquire land. And for the woman, she wants concrete money. And it's beneath her, and she won't accept chalipin as a method of kinyan. That's the way Rashi presented why chalipin does not work in terms of getting into kedushin. And then finally, and why did the Mishnah say only 2 ways to get out of a marriage, to extricate? I might have thought chalitza being away through a kavachomer. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that chalitza cannot be a means in which a woman can extricate herself from a marriage. Okay, and finally, we're in the middle of discussing how do I know that kesef is a means in terms of a woman getting married, and furthermore, how do I know that when the father marries off his daughter, he can do so through kesef kedushin, and how do I know that the kesef kedushin is going to go to the father, and this is true when the father marries her off as a ketana, and even as an nara itself. We're in the middle of answering that question. The Gemara is struggling in terms of where exactly we find this in the Torah, and tomorrow we're going to conclude on this matter.